Welcome to a new episode of Metal Minds, The Pit Unplugged, the podcast by Metal.de, where we dive deep into music, emotions and productions with artists, producers and creative minds from the world of metal. My name is Diana Heinbohr and I'm thrilled to introduce you a band that had not only brought new metal into a present, but also demonstrate how intense, diverse and powerful modern metal music can be, Tetrack. Here from Atlanta, with Diamond Rowe on guitar and Josh Four on vocals and rhythm guitar, the band has established itself in recent years as an innovative and uncompromising force. They combine heaviness with harmony, groove with feeling, and technical brilliance with clear message. Music can be raw, honest, and beautiful ugly. And that's exactly what today is about, their new album, The Ugly Side of Me, which drops in early May and digs deep, not only musically, but also thematically. I'm talking with Diamond Rowe and Josh Four about the album, their collaboration with Dave Otero, mental health, subculture, diversity, and the strength we can find in our own ugly side. Welcome to Metal Minds.
Thank you. Thanks for having us. Yeah, thank you so much.
Okay, then let's start very gently. At the time where we produce the podcast, it's Easter time right now. For many, this is a phase of new beginnings, whether religious, spiritual, or simply through spring. How is it for you? What does the awakening of the nature means to you?
I think the springtime is definitely, that's new beginnings for a lot of people. And it's nice that I think our album is coming out at that time. It feels like a fresh, every album feels like a fresh start for Tetrarch. It's a continuation of what we've done in the past, but it's also a chance to show the world what we've been up to for the past few years. So I think that's, it's kind of a good metaphor for the springtime.
And you, Diamond?
I agree. It's like you said, every time we put out something new or something, I know I get really nervous because, you work really hard and you're really excited. But you're also really excited, for everyone to hear what you've been working on and excited to finally get out there again and start playing for everyone and touring and everything. So it is the beginning of the new cycle, of us being able to do all of that and, to everyone to hear the new songs and seeing people singing new songs back to you and stuff like that. It is, woo, got an alert. All right. Yeah, it's kind of a new beginning, to start the new phase. So it's going to be good.
Yeah. Speaking of new beginnings, your new album, The Ugly Side of Me, will be released at the beginning of May. And the title alone is a statement. And in a world where many only show their shiny sides, you focus on something completely different. Why you choose this title?
Yeah, I think, we talked around a few different titles and album titles, but The Ugly Side of Me just seems to kind of resonate with the album as a whole. I think, it's human nature to have things about yourself or your situation that you're not very happy with or happy to share. But part of being human as well is acknowledging that and learning to grow with those kind of feelings and kind of better yourself. So I just think that The Ugly Side of Me, it just very much represented kind of the songs as a whole, where it's like there might be this ugly side, but there's also this push forward to try to better yourself and to get out of that situation.
And what kind of themes or topics do you pick up on the album? Is there an overarching message or a common thread, or what are the themes?
I don't say there's not necessarily we didn't set out to have a theme for the album, especially lyrically. But I think, we in Tetrarch have always kind of just written about human experience and very relatable things, whether it's something that, we're going through or we're seeing somebody go through, or, just kind of because we write about kind of normal human emotions, I think that, the type of songs that this album has are just kind of a natural occurrence for that.
Yeah. Sometimes an album is always somehow a testimony of time, and the last 4 years have been pretty hard years. I think if we look back, we had this pandemic, and in general, the roughness in the world is increasing again. Even through it was never fair. In recent years, we have the feeling that the world is becoming more unfair. And how was this with the album? What were the challenges you had in the last 4 years?
You know, I don't know. Like you said, I think the last 4 years, especially, you know, part of that being in the pandemic, was like a lot of state of unrest for a lot of people. You know, there's a lot going on in our world today that, you know, can be looked at as kind of a negative thing. I know Josh and I talk a lot about how it was really weird because the pandemic was kind of like a, strangely enough, a good time for our band because of like, we put out Unstable, our last record, and it was kind of when our band started to really grow a lot. So it was a weird thing because it was like the world's in a weird, really weird place, but our band is also doing like really well right now. So that was interesting. But I think like going into this record and, you know, like Josh said, we talk a lot about just like, you know, personal experiences or experiences we see other people go through. And I think it's just a really good snapshot of like where, you know, maybe people around us are or where we're at or whatever. But I don't know. I feel like, you know, Josh does a good job of just kind of like setting the tone for what maybe a lot of our fans would feel as well and what a lot of them will be going through and what they could really relate to, because it's really important for us to like resonate with as many people as possible. Like, we don't really, we're not like big metaphorical writers. Like, we're very literal in our writing, like lyrically. But I think that's because we want as many people to be able to understand and relate as possible and to be able to like relate it to like what they're going through specifically. Like, we don't want to make it like too direct to where like some people, you know, are like can't relate it to what they're going through or where they are. So more than like the state of the world, I think we just really try to like relate to, like he said, like humans and like what every human could go through at any point, at any time. You know what I mean? Instead of more so like the state of the world, you know, in general. So,
yeah, absolutely. And if we then, the audience is listening to the music, then the sense for us comes through. And it maybe sometimes is completely different to that what you think about where you're writing the song. So it's
exactly, yeah.
Making music is, as you described it, is a very reflective part. A reflective thing. And you often address very personal, sometimes emotional or hard topics in your songs. And maybe during the creative process, you dig deep into these hard to handle topics. And how do you manage to take care of yourself through this?
I think part of it can come from, you know, maybe even some of the like the tone of anxiousness that's in some of the songs. Like, you know, maybe for me, that can come from, you know, there's always pressure as an artist to do, you know, to better yourself, or you think you're trying to better yourself than the last song you put out or the last album you put out. So like, as you're writing, you go through these phases of like, is any of this good? Are we terrible? No, wait, we're pretty cool. You know, like you go through these ranges of emotions. And I think while digging into those kind of feelings and things, I think it's important to just also acknowledge all the good things happening, all of the positive things going on for, you know, especially for the band and for Tetrarch, because like Diamond said, we've had a really great time as a band since the pandemic started. So it's just remembering like how far you've come and, you know, going outside, taking walks, resetting yourself. And then, but still, you know, when you're writing a song, you want to be in that the mind state of what you're writing about. You know, even if you're singing about somebody else and what they're going through, you try to put yourself in their shoes and their situation. And so I think it's just kind of just remembering that, you know, just because you write about something doesn't mean that you have to stay stuck in that mindset.
Yes, absolutely. And I'm a very curious person, so forgive me the question, but how does the songwriting work for you from the idea to the finished song? How can I imagine? Do you have writing teams or all together in the studio, or how can I imagine the creative process?
Generally, it starts with Josh or I. Like, we'll have, one of us will have like a riff or a chorus idea, or even like maybe like a whole song, and it'll be like a bare version of like the song, you know, not like the song as you hear it most of the time, but like then we'll bring it to the other person and maybe they'll say like, oh, this is super cool, like, and help flesh out the rest of the song. Or they'll say, or he'll say like, you know, oh, that chorus idea is really cool, I have this verse riff that might go with that, let's put that together and try it. Or we'll get together and just write a song or two that day, just from scratch. Generally, it starts with one of us or both of us. And after that, a lot of times, maybe less on this record, but a lot of times we'll take the bare bones of the song and go jam it with the band, the other two guys in the practice room, kind of see how it feels in that setting. And then we take it in the studio and kind of flesh it out from there as we're tracking. And we tend to be a band that goes in the studio way underprepared every time. But, you know, we have a lot of studio magic that happens, so that's fine. But yeah, we generally, it starts with one of us, and we just, like this record, we wrote like 30 just very bare songs, like just the basic idea, and then we narrowed it down to our favorites, and then those are the ones that you hear on the record.
Yeah, and every song kind of goes through its own journey too. Like, we do a lot of writing and rewriting too, so like even like a song like Never Again, Parasite, you know, that song, I think
the final version was like the fourth version of that song. Like, if you were to hear the original version, you'd be like, that's not even close to the same song, like just completely different. So we're not afraid to tear things apart too as we write and as we get further into like an album process. And you know, every song kind of comes together in its own different way. But like she said, it usually starts with me or her just kind of, you know, starting with a riff or an idea. And we, you know, we do pride ourselves for sure on like writing our songs and producing. That's something that we're like very proud of.
Yeah. It's some bands told me that they need to be more prepared the next time and they go to studio. Always the same story.
We say that every single record, every time. We're like, next time we're going to come in, all these songs are going to be done. Nope. So it's an ongoing struggle, but somehow we always we get to the finish line somehow.
But
so.
Maybe it's not a struggle because if you're then there in the studio, you have the producer by your side. And that's the producer have a new, fresh view to your music. And maybe this is the magic you need to get it on the next level, on the next stage.
Definitely, most of the time. Sometimes he's like, I don't know what to tell you guys. You got to go back and like figure something out. But so, there's a good amount of times where he like definitely helps us and gives us some direction that we might not have had without his, you know, insight. And that's also cool to always have like that third person in there that can do that. So
the last time, or for the last album, you also worked with Dave Otero, and now again, and I don't know exactly, but the press text read as if you were more involved this time than the time before. Is that so? And how does it come?
Yeah, we were. This is the first album. It's another thing we're very proud of is that this is the first time me and Diamond have also, sorry, had producer credits for an album. And we were definitely a lot more hands-on with this one, especially when it came to like, you know, picking sounds and picking, you know, tones and really being kind of just there for every step of the way, all the way down to mixing. We were there. Like, we pay attention every time we've gone to the studio, and we always learn every time we go. So in the songwriting process, we learn more tricks and things that you can use when you're at home to kind of see what the final vision could potentially sound like. So you have a better idea when you go to the studio, and having that knowledge helps us kind of express our vision for the song. And so we're not relying on somebody, you know, completely on somebody else. So now it's like you have three heads on the production side of things that are really coming together and making the best possible, you know, product you can.
And you said every time you learn new things, and I'm very technical processes, songwriting, mixing, masterings, that are magical things for me. because the mix and mastering to push the buttons and look what will happen. This is something I have no words for this. It's brilliant. It's cool. It's and so how did you dive into this topic of making music and making or come closer to your own production? How do you do this? Where does it come from?
It comes from, I think, it stems all the way back to when we were in like high school and stuff. Like we would write songs and like we didn't really know how to go about going to a studio, you know, when you're first starting. So we just had our computer and Diamond had a really cheap just audio interface that had some like guitar sounds on it. And we would just, try to figure out what buttons did and how to record ourselves. And like, I remember we recorded one with this terrible drum machine and like this terrible guitar tone, but we were so excited to show everybody because we were like, wow, we recorded something, you know, and it probably sounded absolutely terrible. But, you know, as the years go on, every time you go to the studio, you see some, your producer do something, you're like, oh, that's how you get that sound. Oh, that's how this happens. Oh, you do that to make the drums sound bigger. So you just kind of learn, and especially with the internet and like with YouTube, you could learn just any and everything. You can learn too much on audio production, you know, so it's just trial and error and just years and years of doing it. And, you know, both me and Diamond have just learned a lot.
Yeah, I think it's cool too. I know Josh has mentioned this before, but like even down to like the electronics, you know, like in the last, you know, the last, I guess since our Freak album, but really since Unstable, we've like added a lot of electronics into our songs. And it's really cool. This record, we started kind of dabbling in learning how to do electronics and just like putting them on the demos, because it helped a lot with hearing how, like you said, how the song was actually going to, you know, come to light, especially since they now play a decent role, you know, in some of our songs. And what's cool is like even some of the electronics that we made on the demos made it to the actual record this time. So that's kind of cool to see that, you know, we're heading in a direction where maybe we can take care of the electronic side, you know, moving forward on the next record or next singles or whatever it is that we put out. So again, that's like another way that we're becoming like kind of independent in, you know, and audio production and stuff like that. Obviously, like going to studio and everything is great and like what we'll do, but it is cool. The more that we know how to do ourselves, the easier the process and the songwriting process is, and hearing how a song's gonna actually be instead of it being like a surprise, you know, every time we go into a studio. So
yeah. Okay. And the last time, or during the record and production of your new album, were there particular challenges during this process? Or maybe were there, no, you told me, you said it at right before, there were some new technical stuff you tried. but were there also challenges during this process?
I think there's always, like he mentioned a little bit earlier, there's always a little bit of a challenge because, you know, especially as a younger band, as you're putting out different albums and stuff, you're always like wanting to top the last, you know, you're always wanting to be better than the last one. You're always kind of nervous. You want people to enjoy it as much, you know, there's a lot of pressure. So I think like the pressure part we felt and I think that always adds a little bit of an element of like, you know, difficulty. It makes the process a little longer because you're wanting so bad to like top what you've done before. So if anything, I would say that was probably the biggest thing for us this time, was just feeling that, like feeling a little bit of that pressure. But other than that, the process was pretty much the same as usual. Josh can maybe speak for himself on that, but I know that there was definitely a good bit of pressure. So
yeah, I think with that pressure too, I think it like what that pressure does is makes it hard to trust yourself sometimes. Like you don't know, you sometimes are like, you might think that something's not good that is good because you're always thinking like, wait, is this good enough? am I missing? If we go with this part, is that the right vocal melody? Is that the right this? And you might like change something just to change it, because you're kind of second guessing yourself all the time. So it's like the difficulty is knowing when, like, no, that is cool, that needs to stay. And, you know, also knowing when something does need to change, like if something's not working. But it's like you're always kind of going back and forward with yourself and like, is it done? Is the song done? Does it need more? And then you don't want to add too much. It's just those are the biggest struggles, I think, like especially the more you learn, because it's like the more you want to try. So it's kind of a balance.
Yeah.
Yeah. And sometimes it's the more we learn, that the more we know what we don't know anything.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, you think you have it all figured out, and then all of a sudden you're like, I don't know what I'm doing at all. So that is true. I think it's too trying to, you know, like remembering that, like, at the end of the day, we are artists too, you know what I mean? And trying to like remember that, like, what we create, as long as we like it, and it's like, you know, I've never been a musician where I'm like, you know, I don't care what anyone thinks. You know, I'm not like, I think when musicians say that, it's like, it's bullshit most of the time, because it's like, well, of course you care. Like, you know, you're making music and art for other people to enjoy, and like our careers depend on them enjoying it. So you hope that they enjoy it. Obviously, first and foremost, we need to like it, because if we don't like it, then it doesn't matter. But I think just remembering that, like, we're artists and we want to create things that we like. And most of the time when you do that, people can feel when it's like a genuine effort, you know, they can feel when it's not forced, and they naturally gravitate to it as well. So just trying to remember that in the process too, and like just writing what you enjoy and write what you like and what feels authentic to you. And usually that's the way to go, and just trying to remember that.
Yeah, absolutely. If you are in the flow and you are like what you do or what you're doing, and then you like the result, then also the audience or wherever will listen to it will enjoy it. And no musicians out there only make music for her or himself.
Right.
You want to go out.
They'll say they do.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, but you wouldn't put it out. You wouldn't put a song out if you didn't want people to hear it.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Okay, then let's talk about new metal. Many people say new metal is dead, but you show how alive this genre can be. What does new metal mean to you?
You know, like when we were growing up, I was very like into all kinds of metal. So like everything from thrash to, you know, deathcore to just everything. I didn't discriminate. I was so excited when I was learning about all different bands when I was young. It was just such an exciting time for me. But at that time, nu metal was still very big, you know. Linkin Park and Disturbed and Mudvayne and, you know, Limp Bizkit, all these bands were like dominating the radio. And so like as I was learning about heavier music, you know, you naturally turn on the radio first. You're like, I'm just going to listen to rock radio, and this is how I'm going to learn about bands. So I, you know, Slipknot and all of that, I got into those bands super quick, and they just became like staples in my catalog. Like, I just love those bands, and to this day, they're still my favorite bands. Like, still the bands. People will be like, what are you listening to today? And I'm like, you know, Slipknot. Like, I still listen to the same thing that I listened to then. And I think what's so cool about those bands is, like, I've always been into bands that, like, can be super heavy or dark, but also still very catchy and digestible. And I think that's really cool about nu metal. And that's also what's important to us in our band. We love being able to have those dynamics of being really dark or really bouncy or heavy, but also we have choruses that people can sing. And so I just think that's really cool. And I love that about nu metal. It's always my favorite style of metal in some way. I guess I wouldn't say like, I wouldn't always be like, nu metal is my favorite style of metal, but like those bands are are my favorite. You know what I mean? So, yeah, it played a huge role in my life. And like, I feel honored that we're like lumped in the same category as those bands. Whereas I know a lot of other bands run from it. We just embrace it. We're like, hell yeah, that's sick. They put us in this magazine, you know, right next to Deftones. Like, why would I complain about that? That's awesome, you know? So.
And you, Josh?
Yeah, I think that, I mean, to me, it's like the, you know, new metals, like Diamond said, it's like those bands, especially, you know, some of the big ones, they were able to just cross over between, you know, you go somewhere and System of a Down comes on. Let's say you're at a karaoke bar or something like that. And it's like people are singing all kinds of music and everything from Disney to pop, and all of a sudden someone decides to do a System of a Down song, and everyone from all walks of life get hyped up singing every word. So it was like, that was the power of, I think, nu metal, is that like even people that didn't like metal, they could relate to those songs, or they knew those songs. So I think that was always something that was really cool. And I think it comes down to the fact that the songs were memorable, the songs were good, they had, you know, things that everybody could sing. So I think, like, to me, it's just that mix of heavy and catchy, and being able to just relate to more people that makes nu metal so cool.
Yeah. And you mentioned all the bands, and you start there because you're like the bands, the music, but you were able to create your own sound of nu metal. And this is very cool. Oh.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And personally, I like the balance of melody and heaviness, the bass pressure, and the groove that you create on the new record, especially the groove. I think there's more groove than on the record before, but it's my impression of the record. But if we are listen to new productions of new metal or modern metal or alternative metal or everything in metal, because of the technical things they are possible today, some songs sound overloaded, because you have, every time you have to change to put a next or a further guitar on it and and other stuffs. And how do you manage this balance in your songs? Or how do, yeah, it's a very, it's an impossible question to answer, I think. But maybe you can give an impression how you handle it.
I think, you know, it kind of goes back to the more you learn and the more things you've done, it's like you want to put more and more of that into your songs. So it's like more electronics, more vocal harmonies, more leads, and like you can find yourself, you could like you're just like jamming a million things into one spot, and then like sometimes it's knowing when you don't need to add anymore. That's like the struggle. It's like, oh, if we add this vocal line doing this weird thing underneath this other one, now it sounds jumbled and messy. So it's like you take out an element and you're like, oh wow, that's like 100 times better. But you know, I think people, especially in metal, like mixes and productions have gotten so, so big, where it's like there's never, it feels like there's always a lot going on, whether it's with synths or leads and sounds and all kinds of stuff. So I think it's just like everything with songwriting, I think it's just that balance of knowing what a song needs and what a song doesn't need.
Yeah, and it's crazy too, because for us, it's almost like we have two singers, but a guitar player and a singer, because like, you know, I have like a really strong lead presence as far as guitar in our band, and then obviously he's vocal. So it's like sometimes it's us trying to figure out like, does it need to be a lead here, or should it be a vocal part here? Like, you know what I mean? Where that's something that like most bands probably don't even really have to think about, you know what I mean?
And I'm always like, I think it should be a lead here, and Diamond's like, I don't think I could be a vocal there. I'm like,
we're always like passing the buck off. So yeah. And then sometimes it ends up being both. So I think for us too, it's like we always have that question to answer. So a lot of times there is something going on in a part. If it's not him singing, it's me doing some kind of lead or me doing a solo or something. But it's about finding that balance of like doing what the part needs instead of just like doing stuff just because you can. And I think every artist kind of has to find that balance and learn that for themselves and for their own band. And it can be challenging, but sometimes it's good to let things breathe as well. So, you know, it's about figuring out what works for the song.
Yeah, and I think a big thing, too, is, like, if, you know, we also, at the end of the day, we want, if you were to strip everything away and you just had my guitar, Diamond's lead, drums, bass, and vocals, that the songs would still be good songs. Like, that's really important, too, like, making sure, you know, if it's a guitar lead, it's a catchy melody of a guitar lead. If it's a vocal, same thing. So we want the songs to be able to stand even without a bunch of extra things added on top. And then that when that happens, then all of the things that are added on top just kind of add to it and make it, you know, even grander, even bigger.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, then I would like to address a bit of a tricky topic now. I often find it difficult to formulate, but basically it's about women or diversity in the music landscape in general. And I know it by myself because every time when I talk about music or the technical side of music, sometimes I get comments like, oh, I wouldn't have thought you can do this. And sometimes I think if I were a man, I never would become such comments or like this. So maybe for you, Diamond, this question, how was it for you to unfold your brilliance in a very male-dominated landscape?
So it's interesting because I feel like my answer is like different than a lot of other women, or like it's like when I started playing, we were very young, you know, we were 11 and 12 years old, 13 years old when we started like jamming. I started playing guitar, we started the band, and I didn't think about that at all, you know, like my favorite musicians and guitar players were like men, like, you know, Mark Morton from Lamb of God and Kirk Hammett and like all these just like white guys that just like, and I didn't think anything of it. You know what I mean? I was always like a kid who was like kind of a tomboy. I loved sports. I loved things that like black female young girls probably didn't like hockey and motocross. And so I was always like into things that were different anyways. So I guess I never really like thought about it in our formative years, like when we were first started touring and all that kind of stuff. I was just doing what I loved and like doing what my favorite musicians did. I was like, I want to be like, you know, whoever, Dimebag Darrell. I want to be like these guys. And I didn't think about how it was different. I think as we started getting more recognition and getting a little bit bigger, people would. It, I mean, even in our, like when we would play bars and stuff when we were younger, people would always flock in and be like, oh my God, what is this? You know, this is different. But I still, even then, it was kind of like, I don't get it. You know what I mean? And I think as we move forward and as we started getting a little bigger, people would always come talk about how different it was. And I would finally, at some point, I was like, okay, like maybe this is something cool. For us, I say for me and for us, it kind of ended up being a blessing in disguise, because I feel like a lot of people who wouldn't pay attention to Tetrarch ever, if there wasn't that different thing of like a black female playing guitar in the band, pay attention, and it makes them listen to the band and they become fans. So like, I haven't really had like this like big negative experience. I think now that we've gone even a step higher in our career and gotten even a little more known, I see a little bit more of it now than I did, you know, in the past years of people being like, what kind of woke metal is this? And all kinds of weird stuff, you know, that I'm just like, what? I'm just playing guitar. You know what I mean? So I do see a little bit more of it now, I think, which is interesting. But now I'm at the point where I don't give a shit. You know what I mean? Whereas like maybe, you know, 5, 6, 7, 10 years ago, maybe it would have bothered me a little bit more. But I didn't pay any attention to it, or it didn't exist as much. I don't know. But yeah, for me, I look at it, my experience has just kind of been like I said, a blessing in disguise. It's been very helpful for our band. I feel honored that I'm able to like inspire so many people and so many other girls that tell me like, you gave me confidence to like go to this metal show that I wanted to go to, or to pick up the guitar, or, you know, do things that I wouldn't have done if I didn't see someone like you do it. I would be too scared to do it or whatever. So yeah, it's been an awesome journey for me. Like I truly rarely listen to any kind of naysayers or anything like that. And yeah, I don't know. I'm just honored to be in this position, really.
Yeah, the story is similar to mine, because I started with 13 making radio, and I do it because I love it. And then maybe 10 years or 15 years later, the strange voices start to speak. So, oh, why you can do this? You are a woman. Why you do this? And so, but at this moment, I have so much confidence that I don't matter what they say. So,
right, exactly, yeah.
But to every little girl there out there, it's important to do the things you love, and it doesn't matter what you are. Just do it.
Yeah, and I tend to say, like, I think a lot of times women can get in their own way too, because I think sometimes, like, mentally they're so hyper focused on that difference and what other people will think or how they're going to be treated differently, that it handicaps them from pursuing things, because they're like, well, I'm a woman and they're not going to look at me the same or whatever. But I think the fact that I was so, and you too, so like detached from that, like you didn't even think of that. It was just like, this is what I want to do and I'm going to do it. Like, I didn't even think about the fact that I was a black female. Like, that literally, I just wanted to play guitar. I think that helped me a lot, because like I didn't handicap myself. Like, I wasn't like, oh, I'm not going to be able to do this and they're not going to take me seriously. And then you just talk yourself out of it. It just didn't even cross my mind. And I think that's very helpful. You know what I mean?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
And you addressed also that the fans have a diverse range of people. what do you think, or what do you both think? Yeah, especially at shows. Shows can be also a safe space. And why it's important to have such a responsibility as a band to hold up the design for a respectful coexistence in this context?
I think, like, the coolest thing about music is that, like, you're free to like what you like and what speaks to you. It doesn't matter what genre or anything like that. So I think that it's important for people to know that, like, if you know you feel like you don't fit in with a certain crowd for this genre, who cares? Because you're going to go to that show and you're going to have a good time, and everyone around you is going to have a good time with you. They don't care. And that's the coolest thing with, like, metal and something like we see at our shows all the time. Like, you know, it's just how inclusive music really is. You know, if you just look at the internet and people's comments and how they like to kind of troll and stuff, you might be like, oh, wow, this is a really negative place and all of this. But then, you know, there's always, for every negative comment towards somebody for something, you have 1,000 people coming to their defense of like, hey, you don't know what you're talking about. Metal's for everybody, you know. So I think it's just, you know, it's something cool I see with the genre, is like, it is so,
yeah,
it's way more inclusive than people think.
Definitely. Yeah.
Okay. We've talked already a lot, but before I get to the end, is there anything you would like to talk about, but I didn't ask you?
I mean, I feel like we touched on most of it. I always just say, like, we're going to be on the road a good bit, and we just hope, you know, I look forward to meeting so many new people, especially overseas. This summer will be our first time over there, surprisingly, but we're really excited to meet a lot of new fans who have been looking forward to seeing us over there for quite some time. And yeah, that we just, you know, hope to see a lot of a lot of people on the road, man. It's we feel like shows and touring and playing live is like our bread and butter. Like that's where we just really shine and really connect with our fans and have a great time. And so we're just looking forward to seeing everyone out there.
Hey, Josh, do you want to add something?
No, I was going to say the same thing. Just like we're very excited about, you know, getting on the road. That's our favorite part of being in a band. It's like we love writing and we love recording too. But it's like once you get done with that for like an album, you're like, all right, let's get playing live, because that's like our favorite thing to do. So we're just really excited. And like she said, to get overseas for the first time is like, you know, we're antsy. We've been rehearsing, you know, every day getting ready. So we're just, we're excited for that.
Yeah.
Okay. Then I have two more questions for you. The first is, what are you grateful for the here and now?
Wow.
Bad.
We're like, I mean, a lot, you know, definitely, you know, just where we are today and like being able to be here and do what it is that I love most in life, which is playing heavy music, you know, with my best friends. And like, just, I just love the fact that I'm able to do this, you know, for a living. Like, it's literally like the most important thing in my life. Like, and I'm so thankful that like I have this opportunity, because I know a lot of, you know, it's slim pickings for the people who actually get this opportunity and get to make a living of it. And there's so many people who want to and aren't able to. So I'm just really proud that we're here and able to do this. I'm thankful for it every day. So.
Yeah. And kind of along those lines, I'm just thankful that people do care. Like, it's really cool to see, like, just thankful that people want to listen to Tetrarch and want to share our music with their friends and come to shows and do all that, because, you know, ultimately you can't do anything as a band without fans. And it's a two-way thing. You know, we perform and want to entertain an audience and have them leave, you know, a show feeling great or listening to our song feeling great. And then we also receive that same energy, you know, from them. And we leave a show on cloud nine. And, you know, when we see people listening to our music, it makes us feel really good too. So just thankful for that people care enough to listen to and talk about Tetrarch.
Yeah. Okay. And my last question is, if you had one wish free, what would you wish for?
Oh boy. One free wish. I don't know, Josh, I'll let you take that one.
One wish, maybe that just to that there was never that there would never be a day when we would ever have to stop, even if we're 400 years old, because this is our life and it's been our life since we were young. So, you know, just like our favorite bands like Metallica and stuff, we're going to keep on going and going until we just physically can't anymore. So, but my wish would be that there will never be that day. We would have 1,000 years, 2,000 years of just touring and playing shows, because it's what we love.
Yeah.
I'm going to go with that too, because I'm with him on that one.
Okay, then I cross my fingers.
Yes.
She's like, I hope that for you too.
She's like, I don't know if that's going to happen, but.
Yeah, but we can always hope.
Yep.
Okay, then I thank you for your time. We are at the end of the podcast. That was the Metal Minds, the Pit Unplugged podcast with Tetrarch. A huge thank to you, Diamond Row, and Josh Four, for your openness, your time, for sharing such deep insights into your music, the emotions and the creative process. And the new album from Tetrarch, The Ugly Side of Me, drops in early May. Make sure that you check it out and embrace the raw, unfiltered side of life. Thank you so much. I was and will ever be Diana Heinbucher. Stay loud and stay real.